I scream, you scream, we all scream for artificial intelligence? Wait, what? Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. And yes, we have artificial intelligence on the brain this week, but this isn't your average AI fish frying podcast. Oh no. We're doing some edge device AI soup to nuts, top to bottom, the whole kit and caboodle, even with a cherry on top. Wait, are we back to ice cream? Man, I need a snack. Anyway, let's bring in Deepak Bolpana from Lattice Semiconductor to introduce us to the SenseAI technology stack. Let's go. Hi, Deepak. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me today.
Okay, so first off, give my audience a quick recap on what Lattice Semiconductor is all about.
Sure. The Lattice Semiconductor focuses on low density, low power, small form factor FPGAs. So these are, again, field programmable devices, and these are all optimized for ultra low power and low cost and small size. And as a company, we have always been focused on mostly edge devices. So these are the IoT devices at the edge that actually care about these kinds of low power, small size attributes. And that's what we are right now excited about as well in terms of the new edge computing trend that's coming down this way.
So you guys just launched the SenseAI technology stack, which is all about mass market enablement of AI in edge devices. So first off, tell me what motivated you guys to create this technology stack?
Sure. So AI at the edge is still relatively new concept, right? I mean, the past few years, AI has been implemented largely in the cloud and the data centers, but for a variety of different reasons, including, you know, need for low latency decision making and privacy concerns and just network bandwidth limitations. For a number of different reasons, there is increasingly a move towards embedding AI functionality in edge devices themselves, right? So that's a new trend, and that's where we see an unmet need, actually, for a silicon platform that's both ultra low power, low cost, small size, which you need for these edge devices, but also flexible and programmable, right? Simply because AI is so new and evolving, there is a definite need to support flexibility, and there are other flexibility needs as well, including I/O support and stuff. So for a number of these different reasons, we do see an unmet need in the market, and that's exactly what we are trying to address with SenseAI stack that we are launching.
So Deepak, what's all included in SenseAI?
Yeah, so the SenseAI stack is a complete technology stack for integrating the ultra-low power flexible inferencing. And when we say complete stack, it includes everything from hardware development kits for rapid prototyping of AI functionality. It includes IP cores, so these are soft IP cores for neural network accelerators, including BNN or binarized neural networks and CNN or convolutional neural networks. It includes new software tools like the neural network compiler tool that we have that essentially interfaces to these industry frameworks like CAFE and TensorFlow, and you know, users can easily map their trained network into our FPGA, and all this without requiring any RTL expertise. So even software designers can fire up this tool and get going pretty quickly. And the stack also includes, kind of to showcase all these coming together, it includes up to 5 new reference designs and demos for common AI use cases, right? So these are things like face detection or object detection, key phrase detection for smart speaker type applications, and face tracking, object counting, speed sign detection. So pretty common AI use cases that are found in a variety of different end applications. And last but not the least, the stack also includes an ecosystem of partners that we have lined up to support customers and deliver custom solutions, because we do anticipate certain class of customers will require this kind of support. So yeah, to kind of summarize, it's a pretty comprehensive stack, everything from kits to IP cores, software tools, reference designs, and a whole ecosystem of partners.
So we all know that low power is critical to most edge devices. So Deepak, what's the power story here?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, low power is really critical in these edge devices, and every milliwatt of power matters, right? So, because again, some of these edge devices are even battery operated, right? So in terms of the power consumption that we support, right, it's really ultra low power. So as low as under 1 milliwatt to under 1 watt. So think of it as a range of power consumption that we support, anywhere from under 1 milliwatt to under 1 watt. And again, this is truly low power, especially compared to some of the other products out there that consume anywhere from 5 or even 7 watts of power for edge devices. Lattice, on the other hand, is really focused on under 1 watt of power consumption, all the way down to even a 1 milliwatt.
Wow. Okay. So low cost is also a very important component to deployment acceleration, right?
Absolutely. I mean, all of the technology is great, but yeah, if it's not at the right price and if it doesn't make business sense, customers are not going to integrate it. So absolutely, these edge devices typically ship in high volume, and you know, price is something that, as much as customers love AI, they want to still spend as little additional cost adder as possible to integrate this functionality. And even there, Lattice is truly unique. Now, we offer all this FPGA flexibility that you can get and still offer this in production price FPGAs in the range of basically under $10 and even as low as a dollar in some cases. So it's again that dollar to $10 kind of a price range that we are focused on. And again, that's truly differentiating, and customers really like that aspect a lot.
Absolutely. Okay, Deepak, so what's the development kit story here? What have you got to get me started?
Absolutely. So our stack is actually based on two of our existing FPGA families. One is the ICE40 Ultra Plus FPGA, and this is the FPGA for down in the few milliwatts kind of a range. And the other is ECP5 FPGA, and that's the FPGA for close to kind of 1 watt or lower kind of a range, and it has higher performance relative to the Ultra Plus. So for both FPGA families, we offer off-the-shelf development kits for rapid prototyping of this machine learning inferencing. So in the case of Ultra Plus, for example, we have the Mobile Development Platform, or the MDP, and that's a board that has up to 4 Ultra Plus FPGAs, and also comes with a host of different sensors on the board. This includes everything from image sensors to microphones to pressure and accelerometer, so a whole set of sensor interfaces. So it's a great board and kit to really do some rapid prototyping for a wide variety of sensor inputs. And on the ECP5 side, we have a kit that's exclusively focused on embedded vision applications, and it's a platform that we call VIP, Video Interface Platform. And one of the first versions of that, called the Embedded Vision Development Kit, it's actually been out there, you know, for roughly a year now, and it's one of our very popular development kits, and it's actually an award-winning kit, won a couple of awards as well for its truly flexible and modular nature. So it's actually a stack of 3 boards, and ECP5 is in the middle board, and can actually change your top and bottom boards based on different I/O requirements, right? So we offer separate I/O boards that can be mixed and matched with support from anything like MIPI interfaces to EDP, HDMI, USB, GIGI. So a host variety of different video connectivity that we support as part of this video interface platform. So yeah, I mean, those are the two development kits that users can get started on right away. Again, one of them is for the ICE family, the Mobile Development Platform, and the one for ECP5 is the Video Interface Platform.
Excellent. This is super cool, and I'm excited to get started. Well, Deepak, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I appreciate the time today.
Now, if you want even more information about Lattice's sensAI technology stack, I would highly recommend that you read a recent article by EE Journal Editor-in-Chief Kevin Morris entitled More AI at the Edge, Lattice Launches sensAI Stack. And you can check out this article by heading on over to eejournal.com and clicking the Articles tab, or you can also click the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. All right, how about a little AI news you may have missed? Did you know that China is setting its sights on being the artificial intelligence world leader by 2030? It's true. Last summer, the Chinese State Council unveiled a three-step roadmap to AI world domination. This roadmap outlined the technological development of artificial intelligence and laid out how it will be deployed throughout the country, from military implementation to the creation of smart cities. Now, the first part of their plan, which runs up to 2020 or so, is that the Chinese government plans on developing what they refer to as a new generation of AI theory and technology, which will also include the creation and development of new AI standards, policies, and ethics. So the next steps in this outline are a little more fuzzy. By 2025, the Chinese government expects to have a major breakthrough in AI application, which will, of course, lead to what they call industrial upgrading and economic transformation. In just 5 years? Really? So it seems like this AI train is already trucking down the tracks in China. In schools, actually. It was revealed earlier this week that China has been testing a new facial recognition software, along with artificial intelligence algorithms, to analyze the engagement of students in the classroom. All in real time. Okay, so this intelligent classroom behavior management system scans the room every 30 seconds and then records the facial expressions and behavior of the students. This system can actually identify 7 different moods, including anger, fear, sadness, and happiness. The camera, which is positioned at the top of the blackboard in front of the classroom, can also identify 6 different types of behavior: standing up, listening to the teacher, reading, writing, hand raising, and leaning on the desk. Probably not a good one. So far, the Chinese government has only released data from a couple of schools, but in one school in eastern China where this system has been implemented for the last year, is my favorite quote, maybe of all time. Okay, so a student at this school said as follows: "Previously, when I had classes I didn't like very much, I would be lazy and maybe take a nap on the desk or flick through other textbooks. But I don't dare be distracted since the cameras were installed in the classrooms. It's like a pair of mystery eyes are constantly watching me." Yep, that sounds about right to me. My mystery eyes were called Mr. Edmondson. Even further than this single school in eastern China, China is also working on training a neural network grading system that will use a central server and would compile the work of millions of students. Yeah. There is so much more to this story, but I gotta wrap things up. So, if you want further information about this story, including how China plans on using AI and neural networks to implement their social credit system, and how centralized grading system works, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. So maybe you want to take advantage of deep learning in your next design. But other than the occasional fish fry episode, many of you may not have the AI background needed to develop the models. Well, folks, MathWorks is out to change all of that. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Deep Learning with MATLAB, I sit down with Girish Venkataramani from MathWorks and chat about using MATLAB to develop deep learning applications. This one is super cool, and you can check it out by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com, by navigating on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal, or you can check out YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And yes, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out the Fish Fryin' archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I'm coming to San Francisco real soon, you guys. Hit me up with some ideas here. And you can shoot me a line with all that information at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 1st, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.